help us to commence this evening with hymn 1048. We've no abiding city here, this may distress the worldling's mind, but should not cost the saint a tear, who hopes a better rest to find. 1048.
Thank you. the Word of God, we will read Psalm 44. The Book of Psalms, number 44. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favour unto them. Thou art my King, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name for ever. Selah. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbours, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth, by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this is come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off for ever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction, and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And may he now help us in prayer. Almighty and most merciful Lord, the time of the evening service has come, and we do need thee. Oh, teach us to pray, and may we receive from thy fullness, and grace for grace, and find our every need richly supplied. We pray thy blessing upon the service. Shut out the world and every inferior thing, and do shut us in with thyself, and set our affections on things above. We come with that desire we would see Jesus in his beauty and in his suitability to meet our deepest need. Sin is mixed with all we do. We beg thy mercy, thy forgiveness, cleansing in the Redeemer's blood. We will be led and taught by thy Spirit. Oh, may we realize it is before the great God we come, and we are nothing, creatures of a day, sinful. Behold, O God, our shield. Look upon the face of thine anointed. View us in thy dear Son. May we find acceptance in the Beloved. So we pray that our visit here may not be in vain. We've sung of the passing of time, the certainty of eternity. Oh, give us grace to redeem the time, for the days are evil, to live to thy glory. And oh, do make us ready, make us right, prepare us for the great day, in Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood. Oh, we would see that beauty in the atonement and in the Saviour's righteousness, that as by the disobedience of one man many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man many are made righteous. May we have an interest there, that vital, personal knowledge of the Saviour. May we be those real Christians, washed in the Redeemer's blood. May we be found amongst those who cling and cleave to the Saviour, and who cling and cleave to his people. We do beg thy blessing here in this sanctuary. Make the place of thy feet glorious. May sinners be born of thy Spirit, effectually called by thy grace from death to life. Do establish the souls of thy people, we pray. Feed them with the bread of eternal life. May there be a bringing out of bondage into liberty. Those who, like the poor man at Bethesda, sat there, lain there for many years, may they rise, take up their beds, and walk. So we do pray for Zion's true peace and prosperity here in this sanctuary. And throughout our churches we pray. We ask thy blessing on our ministers and on our congregations. We pray thou wilt revive us in the midst of the years, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And oh, do remember thy people everywhere, the suffering church, and those who now suffer for the truth's sake in our own country. Be with thy people everywhere. Bless those societies and institutions, we pray, who would stand for right things in this evil day. And we pray that thou wilt stand with them and rise up for their behalf. That closing verse we read, how we need it personally and in the churches. Arise, O Lord, for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Do have mercy on our guilty land. We pray for the old and the young, thy blessing in the Sabbath school, today and at all times. Be with the families and parents bringing up their children. Be with those who mingle with the world. Oh, do bless the families and be with parents. Give them thy grace. And the children and the little ones and the babies, we thank thee for them and ask thee to bless them. May thy spirit still work. We pray for all afflicted, those unwell. We pray for those with new pathways in their life that have not passed this way heretofore. May they see the Saviour going with them. And bless those with problems and difficulties. Do solve them for them. We do pray. Oh, but above all, do remember us with those spiritual blessings in Christ. We would thank thee for every mercy, every favour, above all for the gift of thy beloved Son and the glorious Gospel, the blessings treasured up in Christ. Oh, but we do want to be partakers. Like poor Bartimaeus, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, but oh, do not pass me by. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Come right where we are, leaping over the mountains, skipping over the hills, to show thyself through the lattice. Come where we are, like the Good Samaritan, to do everything we need. Honest, thirsty, longing souls, may we taste of the streams of that sacred river, which make glad the city of our God, that river of the water of life, purest crystal that proceeds from beneath the throne of God and of the Lamb. But oh, by faith we would behold the Lamb of God. May this evening be something like when John the Baptist stood and cried, "Behold the Lamb of God," and two of his disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. May there be those who hear us speak, pointing sinners to the Lamb of God, who should hear us and follow Jesus. And may it be in an open profession of thy name, sweetly constrained by thy love, Christ revealed, Christ made precious. How weak we are, how far short we come. Oh, but break not the bruised reed, quench not the smoking flax. That we do pray that every need might richly be supplied. And may the preaching of thy word this evening be in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Have compassion on us. Send us not empty away. We ask these great things at thy hand. And oh, we do thank thee that there is a mercy seat sprinkled with blood, a throne of grace, and that kind word in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. May we know something of the gracious effect, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. 462.
With the Lord's help, I will speak to you this evening from the psalm we read, Psalm 44, and the latter part of the fourth verse. So, the book of Psalms, number 44, and the latter part of verse 4. Command deliverances for Jacob. The 44th Psalm, the latter part of verse 4. Command deliverances for Jacob. This is a mighty subject, but our God is a mighty deliverer. And really, you know, beloved friends, the Word of God is a book of God's deliverances. Trials and deliverances. And our little lives are lives of deliverances, trials and deliverances. And dear child of God, you won't have one more trial than you have deliverances. I'm just reminded of years ago, I got so many things to trouble me. And as I have a little custom, I scribbled on a piece of paper. I scribbled all these things and I looked at them. Who could deliver from them? Any of them, one of them, never mind all of them. And I lost the paper. Months later, I found it, and as I read through it, one by one, no longer did they exist. And that word sweetly dropped in, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And you know, whatever kind of deliverance it is you need tonight, and I wouldn't be surprised if many of you were praying for deliverance, perhaps in some circumstance, perhaps from a person, or perhaps from a situation, perhaps from your temptations, perhaps from your sins. There is a word, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Oh, but you know, this is a great word tonight. This cry, command deliverances for Jacob. A prayer to the great deliverer. Into the 18th Psalm that ends up, great deliverances. Giveth he to the king great deliverances. Command deliverances for Jacob. Now, first of all, Jacob himself personally. Jacob himself personally. If you read his life in the book of Genesis, it's an interesting life. It's a remarkable life. But he was always needing deliverance. But the Lord never failed him. Really, the life of Jacob is a life of deliverances. But sometimes he never thought he'd come through with them, did he? he said, "You bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave." He couldn't see any deliverance. He said, "All these things are against me." He couldn't see any deliverance. But God was the God of Jacob. Have you noticed that? Oh, Jacob was such a sinner. I think you read more faults, more mistakes of Jacob than anyone else in the Old Testament. But God was his God, the God of Jacob, the God of all grace. And he answered his prayer, and he brought him through. And when you come to the end of Jacob's life, he hadn't got a single cloud in his sky, had he? "I've waited for thy salvation, O Lord." He could see a complete deliverance in providence, in grace. And all he had to do was lift up his legs into the bed and die. Oh, Jacob, command deliverances for Jacob. Almighty God did. And what a mercy that the word of God says, "The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge." He's still the God of Jacob, the God of all grace, the God of poor unworthy sinners. The godly Puritans used to emphasize one point when you read these Old Testament accounts, and all the Lord did for his ancient people, never forget that this is our God. And never forget that he's still the same today. In the riches of his grace and in his divine almighty power, command deliverances for Jacob. But you can think of so many occasions in his life. Perhaps to mention just that one, when his brother Esau came to meet him, was it 20 years? He'd been planning Jacob's death, and now at last Jacob hears, "Thy brother Esau cometh to meet thee with 400 armed men." And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and well he might be. Was there any way of deliverance? He took the sinner's only safe and sure retreat. And you read that prayer. He poured out his prayer. "Lord," he said, "I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies." He's asking for a great mercy now, but it was on mercy's ground. And he spoke that very word. He said, "Deliver me from my brother Esau." He said, "For I'm afraid of him." Oh, and what a deliverance that was. When his brother Esau met him, he fell on his neck and kissed him. Jacob said, "I've seen the face of my brother Esau," as if I'd seen the face of God. What did he mean? Reconciliation he'd seen in that face which had shown such anger, such enmity. But now it's love. Oh, what a deliverance that was, that God commanded for Jacob. But passing on, the word Jacob here is specially used signifying the Lord's ancient people, Israel. Sometimes they're called Jacob, sometimes they're called Israel, sometimes they're called Ephraim, of course. And you think of the deliverances that they know. You can go through the word of God up to this time, and you can see a deliverance here and a deliverance there. And perhaps that great deliverance on the banks of the Red Sea. There was no way of escape. they had the enemy behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. They were shut in on both sides. If you will, when thou canst no deliverance see, death and destruction. And the people murmuring against God and against Moses, they don't deserve it. Moses cries to God, "Why criest thou to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward." That Red Sea place in your life, when there's no way forward and no way back, no way of escape, no way of deliverance, and then to cast yourself completely into the arms of this gracious, almighty, delivering God. Oh, what a deliverance that was. And it was one of many, it wasn't the first. But here we have a prayer for deliverances for Jacob, for God's ancient people. The psalmist could see there had been these deliverances, but they're in trouble now, the nation of Israel. Let me just remind you of the context here, how this beautiful little word fits in. The psalmist speaks of former days, when the Lord had abundantly blessed his ancient people Israel. "We've heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, what the Lord did, bringing them out of Egypt, supplying them with the manna, water from the smitten rock, overthrowing their enemies, dividing the river Jordan, bringing them into the promised land, overthrowing Jericho so we might go on. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plant us them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. And the reason for it, they got not the land by their own sword." They were no more mighty then than they are now. Neither did their own arm save them. Now, this was the secret. Thy right arm, the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favour to them. Now, that was their hope in time past. That was their hope now, and that's our hope tonight. You see, he puts it all on the grounds of free grace and sovereign mercy. And we in gospel days can go further and say, "For the sake of thy beloved Son, our only hope, our only plea." But if you read through this chapter as we did tonight, they were in trouble. Everything was going wrong. God's ancient people were being despised. Actually, when the psalm was written, we don't know. Different people have various ideas, but we don't know. But we're not told. Obviously, it was after the time of David, but we don't know who the author was even. But everything was going wrong. They were being overcome by their enemies. They had no strength against them. Their only hope was in the Lord. They were despised by the people. And so here, he cast them completely into the hands of God. And he says, "Thou art our King, O God, an almighty King, Israel's God and King. Don't leave us, don't forsake us. Have mercy on us. Do what thou hast done in days past. Command deliverances for Jacob." You know, that's good pleading. Perhaps sometimes you find that. You can look back at a few things in your life a deliverance here, and another deliverance there, and that plea. Thou didst it then, Lord. I didn't deserve it then. I don't deserve it now. It's mercy then. It's mercy now. But thou art the same yesterday and today and forever. Don't leave us to sink. And surely you can take Newton up, can't you? His loving time past forbids us to think he'll leave us at last in trouble to sink. But we're in it now. This is what he's saying. It's not as it used to be. Command deliverances for Jacob. Now, was that prayer answered? Well, those of you who are familiar with the history of the Old Testament, there were a few wonderful deliverances, weren't there? I'm thinking of Hezekiah and that mighty army around Jerusalem's wall, Sennacherib. And poor Hezekiah didn't know what to do, but his God did. And he blew upon them. What was it? 185,000 dead bodies round the walls of Jerusalem. Now that was a deliverance for Jacob. I think again of Jehoshaphat, that great army coming against him. And there they were in their helplessness. It was an impossible case. We have no might, Lord. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are up unto thee. And again, that was a wonderful deliverance for Jacob. How could it be? Well, the Lord caused them to hear a noise as if there was an army coming, and caused them to flee and then to quarrel and then to fight among themselves. And all Jehoshaphat and Jacob had to do was to collect the spoil, divide the spoil. Command deliverances for Jacob, and so you see it right through the Old Testament. Now, the great deliverance was in the cross of Christ. When by his sin atoning sufferings and death and precious blood, he delivered all his people from condemnation, from the wrath to come, and he saved them with an everlasting salvation. But, beloved friends, at Calvary, he didn't command deliverance. He did in creation, you know. Creation was an easy thing. He spake and it was done. All he needed to do, he commanded, and it stood fast. But sin couldn't be put away by a mere command of divine authority. Behold a scene of matchless grace. It is Jesus in the sinner's place, heaven's brightest glory, sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name, the whole church of God, saved in the Lord, with an everlasting salvation. Now, that was the great deliverance. And so, though the Lord does command these blessings now, it's not a command, just a naked command, a sovereign command, as it was in creation. It is on the grounds of redemption. There's a foundation to it. There's a finished work. So lingering here a moment, it's quite an interesting subject. We have it a few times in the Word of God. In a chapter or two before this, the Lord commands his loving kindness. But it's not just as in creation, it's on the grounds of Calvary. We have another psalm a little later. The Lord commanded the blessing. Now that was on the grounds of Calvary. The Lord commands the blessing, even life forevermore. Now one more. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. That's on the grounds of Calvary. Command deliverances for Jacob. Now, the great deliverance that all of you will seek personally, if led and taught by the Spirit of God, to be made ready for heaven, to be prepared, to be prepared for the great day, to be delivered from hell, to be delivered from death, destruction and despair, to be forgiven, to be made right, to be washed in the blood of Christ. And you know, the Lord commands that deliverance for a poor sinner feeling his unworthiness, who ventures to the footstool of mercy, and who pleads the blood of Christ. Perhaps one of the best commentaries, if you want to find it when you go home, is the 33rd chapter of Job. It's sometimes spoken of as the gospel in Job. The Lord looketh down from heaven. He's listening, he can hear many sounds, many voices. What's he listening for? If any man say, I have sinned, and perverted that which is right, and it profiteth me not, then he saith, this is the command of deliverance, deliver his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. And how beautifully he opens it up. But you know, it's on the ground of Calvary. How do you know? Deliver his soul from going down to the pit. Why? For I have found a ransom. And the Eternal Father found a ransom in the precious blood and finished work of his own beloved Son. And he said, deliver them, the whole of those for whom he suffered, from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. And the Father was satisfied with the ransom. And in a sense, that was spoken when the Saviour cried, it is finished. And then when his Father raised him from the dead. Oh, but you see, personally, this sinner going on the venture of mercy, feeling the greatness of his need, he shall pray to God, and he will be favourable to him. And he shall see his face with joy. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show to man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him. And saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. You know, when people get older, they have a little mark here, a little spot there, and a little cut somewhere else. But a little child, a beautiful smooth skin. And that's how it was with Naaman, wasn't it, when he came up the seventh time out of Jordan. His flesh was like the flesh of a little child. And then you see it in the gospel. Christ loved the church. He did. And gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, having neither spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Command deliverances for Jacob. Now, that's the great deliverance, both as made on the cross. Here on the cross, his fairest drawn in precious blood and crimson lines, and then made personally to that venturing sinner who's welcome on mercy's ground for Jesus' sake. And the Lord commands deliverance for him. Command deliverances for Jacob. You see, it's a prayer. It's a prayer heard and answered. It's a prayer that's acceptable with God. Pondering the life of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ when he was here on earth, he commanded a few deliverances, didn't he? You think of those miracles. And he commanded a few deliverances. I suppose if the minister had time, grace and ability, he could go on all night on the wonderful deliverances wrought by the Lord Jesus. What about that when they were, it constrained them to go into the ship? Let us pass over to the other side. Were they right? The Lord had told them to do it. And we read the next chapter, and they came to the other side. But they needed a deliverance in between. They had a trial, they had a storm. And sometimes the Lord will constrain you to go in a way, and then there's a storm, and Satan says you're wrong, and unbelief says you've made a mistake. Let us pass over to the other side. And they came over to the other side. You say, well, why did the Lord allow this storm? Well, you know what I said at the end? What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? In other words, what a great deliverer our Lord and Master is. He arose and rebuked the wind and the waves, saying, peace be still. And there was a great calm. Now that was a great deliverance. Command deliverances for Jacob. Seemed to be on my mind, especially that poor woman who was bowed double, 18 years. If anyone needed deliverance, she did. But she could by no means lift up herself. She couldn't walk straight. She couldn't look up. They'd gone on a long time. And perhaps that suits one or two cases here this evening. You perhaps think you've been waiting a long time, and perhaps some of you feel to be bowed down, and you can't by any means lift yourself up. What a deliverance the Lord Jesus commanded for her. Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmities, and where the word of a king is, there is power. Immediately she walked straight, and that's not the end of the sentence. And glorified God. And glorified God. And so will you. Command deliverances for Jacob. Now, how is it with some of you here tonight? You see, there's providence. Things in your life, your family, parents with little children, older ones, ill health. Concern about those with ill health, troubles, problems, loneliness, disappointment. And we often come back to that, you know, when thou canst no deliverance see, you can't see the deliverance, but you don't need to. There's one word in our hymn book I like. And I like it always sung to Newcastle, where you repeat that middle, that third line. Then let our humble faith address his mercy and his power. We shall obtain delivering grace. We shall obtain delivering grace in the distressing hour. Call upon me, in the day of trouble I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So many things in providence. And then in grace. I mean, it's not just that first deliverance when you're raised up to a sweet hope in the gospel. Here's one wants to be delivered from a hard heart. And here's another wants to be delivered from a prayerless spirit. And here's another one who wants to be delivered from that terrible sin of unbelief. And here's another one who wants to be delivered from Satan's temptations. So it's not just providence, and it's not just things at the beginning. Oh, but in so many ways, if your religion's real, you'll be wanting deliverance and seeking deliverance and praying for deliverance and finding deliverance and proving that your God is the great deliverer. Command deliverances for Jacob. But beloved friends, I have felt this, especially concerning the churches today. Now, we don't hear of so many deliverances, do we? It's a day when there's a lot of darkness and where there's a lot of bondage, and you don't hear of the deliverances as in former days. And what a prayer this is, or should be, for real spiritual prosperity in our congregations throughout the land. God is still almighty, he still loves his people, he's still with them, he hasn't forsaken them. He hasn't forgotten how to deliver. Oh, but that cry on mercy's ground, that he will deliver. Thou art my King, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. On this point, it perhaps seems a strange thing to you, but what has rested with me is that beautiful little account in the second book of Samuel, chapter 23, when we read that David was in a hold. And we read that David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." What David really meant, we don't know, whether it was just a passing fancy, or whether in his heart of hearts he thought of former days when he was free from all the burdens and cares, the tumult, the warfare, or whether, as many people have thought, he had a little glimpse by faith of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ as the deep sweet well of Bethlehem. And what he really longed for was, with joy, to draw water from the wells of salvation. But you see, the well of Bethlehem, if it's the right word, it was inaccessible. Nobody could get near it. It was impossible. There was a Philistine garrison there. It was in the hands of the Philistines, in the hands of the enemy. No one could enter Bethlehem. No one could come anywhere near the well of Bethlehem. Now, this is it. This is the deliverance. David's three mighty men, we're told, they broke through and they drew water from the well of Bethlehem and they brought it to David. I know he didn't drink it, I know he poured it out as an offering to the Lord, but it's this: they broke through. That was the deliverance. And I've thought so much of it in recent days. In our congregations, there doesn't seem to be so much of this breaking through. In two different ways. There isn't so much of the breaking through of the word in power into sinners' hearts. The effect of the preaching, the gracious effect, the powerful effect. The word is preached, the glorious gospel is set forth, the same truths our godly forefathers held. But where do we see the breaking through into sinners' hearts here and the breaking through into sinners' hearts there? You see, that's one thing. And then the other thing. Oh, where do we see sinners breaking through and being enabled freely to come to the well of Bethlehem and to draw water? Now, it was David's three mighty men. The godly Puritan divines, they used to compare God-given faith, living faith, to David's mighty men. You see, it was in the hands of the Philistines. It was in the hands of the enemy. There was no way, there was no approach. But living faith breaks through it all and comes even where Jesus is. Oh, these deliverances we long for personally and in our congregations. Oh, there seem to be so many dear, precious souls who long have known the Lord and sought Him and possess His fear. But there's never really been that complete breaking through, that coming where Jesus is, that falling at His feet, that drawing water from the deep, sweet well of Bethlehem. It comes back to this: command deliverances for Jacob. Oh, there's the unbelief of our own hearts there's the opposition of Satan, there are the many temptations, there's so much to break through, and natural power and strength can't do it, and arguing about it, reasoning about it can't do it. Oh, but when the Lord commands deliverances for Jacob, when he gives that precious living faith, it meets with the obstacles, it comes against the dangers, but it fights its way through. Why? Because living faith can never be satisfied short of Christ. May the Lord answer this prayer. In our hearts, in our midst, in our congregations, it's God's work, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. His people should be willing in the day of his power. He can remove mountains, he can make crooked things straight, he can scatter our unbelief. Oh, but that breaking through, we read, they broke through and they drew water from the well of Bethlehem. They took it back to David. Now that was deliverance commanded. May we know more of it. Let me give you an example from the New Testament. The poor woman with the issue of blood. Oh, didn't the Lord command deliverance for her? And she'd been so many, many years vexed with this affliction. She got no better, rather worse. It was a weakening affliction, and it was one which ceremonially made her unclean. Oh, but when she heard of Jesus, she came. Ah, you see, this is the deliverance. There wasn't any before she heard of Jesus, and there wasn't any till after she'd heard of Jesus, and she was sweetly enabled to come. Oh, but you see, if unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found. She could come nowhere near him because of the crowd. So what did she do? Give it all up and go back home. David's three mighty men, they fought their way through to come even to the deep, sweet well of Bethlehem. And somehow she got through that crowd. And you know, it was really two things. Her case was so urgent, it was an urgent, pressing case, that it impelled her, it forced her forward, it pushed her through the crowd. I must have Christ as all in all. But something else. There was a secret power that pulled her. A secret power that drew her, and no power could stand before it. I wonder if the poor dear woman knew herself how she got there. But she did. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole, or if you will, I shall find deliverance there. Oh, she was driven by her case. But there was something secret in the Saviour which pulled her right through the crowd. And she did come to his feet. And she did touch the hem of his garment. And she was made whole. And the Lord claimed her as his own. He called her his daughter. Daughter, go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, beloved friends, to know these things in the Church of God, among our congregations, especially to know them in our hearts, command deliverances for Jacob.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £820, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Jabez Rutt is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Adrian Pickett next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 788. Come, ye humble sinner train, souls for whom the Lamb was slain. Cheerful let us raise our voice, we have reason to rejoice. Let us sing with saints in heaven, life restored and sin forgiven. Glory and eternal Lord be to our incarnate God. 788.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us forever. Amen.